This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Lord, may every direction we choose to walk with our feet be done with integrity. May every time we reach out our hands, may we act with integrity. May every intention of our heart be nothing but integrity. Amen. Integrity. In the end, it's really all that matters. In the end, perhaps the only question that God would ask of us is the question that Job's wife asks of him. Will you persist in your integrity? It's all that matters. We have a difficult gospel here today, and on this Episcopal Schools Sunday, I don't intend to rail about the evils of divorce. Our children taught us what is the most important thing, and that is to be pure, as they translate that particular commandment about adultery in that sung version. But to put it in a context, let's remember how that gospel started. The Pharisees asked the question of Jesus, why? Not because they really care about people, but they ask him to test him. Their intentions are not pure. They are not acting with integrity. So let's talk about integrity. We have two people this weekend that we speak about integrity. The first is our first reading from the book of Job. Job is a man of integrity. Job has everything going in his favor in his life. He's healthy, he's got a wife, he's got a family. Assume he had a good job, he was doing just fine. And then we hear this deal struck between God and Satan, and everything goes to pot. And Job's wife comes to him and asks him that question, will you persist in your integrity? And then she says, curse God and die. Sort of gives him a reason why that idea of divorce in the gospel might be a good thing. But he doesn't, does he? He remains a man of integrity. He doesn't blame God for the bad things that happen in his life. And this is what integrity is all about. For us to start with the number one realization in our life that God has unconditional love for me, and everything else somehow has to make sense within that framework. That God can do nothing but love me. That's what integrity is about. It's that same root word as we have the mathematical word integer, whole numbers. We are called to be whole. We always say God's holy people. Maybe we need to put the W in front of holy. Because we are called to be together, whole, entire. And it all comes and starts and ends with that realization that I am loved by a God who is nothing but love. That's the rooting that our Episcopal school is trying to give to our children. And I must say they're doing a pretty good job of it. Now, this is Job, and all of you that I know, I don't think there's a one of us who has not had Job-like things happen to us in our lives. Things beyond our control, that just go wrong. And our tendency can be, God is punishing me. Our tendency can be, this is happening because of something that I did or did not do. This is happening because God does not love me. Well, get rid of that idea, because God does not work that way. We need to be people of integrity like Job, that no matter what, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I had an example of integrity in my own life. You're all aware that 30 years ago, I was on the Roman Catholic side of the fence. And there was a thing called annulment. You might know this word. And to get an annulment in the Roman Catholic Church, you had to go through this process that had to go through Rome. And basically, if the priest who was in charge of your case knew how to write up the case, knew the right words to use, you were a cinch. You paid your money and you got your annulment. And I was very good at it, such that I became known as the annulment priest. People came from other churches just to me because they knew Father Marty would get you off the hook. Well, as a man of integrity, I could not do that anymore. It made me sick to my stomach. It's one of the main reasons why I left that church. And now you might be aware that in the last few months, guess what the Roman Catholic Church has decided they just might have been wrong about? The process for annulments. I could have told them that 30 years ago. So, things that happen that are beyond our control. I came back and there was one of these notifications in our mail that said I had a certified letter waiting for me at the post office. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I get those, I start shaking a little bit because it's, well, who's suing me now? So I go and I get the letter, and guess what it says on the return address? From the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of St. Louis. Now, I've been out of that system for over 30 years. Now, I respect all of you totally who are a part of the Roman Catholic Church who are here today, but with the personal history I have, this was rather odd. And I open up the letter, and it's a very formal letter that tells me that the Roman Catholic Church, with the full support of the Pope of Rome, are in the process and they are going to laicize me to relieve me of my responsibilities and my powers as a priest. And they also said, and by the way, we're also going to relieve you of your vow of celibacy. Now that made Dee really happy. But the point was, you know, I left that church because it was an integrity issue, and I'm well over it, but now they're bringing back all this stuff that I got to deal with again. And of course, no, I'm not going, they didn't give you an option. We are doing this. And as I've talked around the country to priests, every former Roman priest in the Catholic Church is receiving one of these certified letters, $4 a letter. You do the math. Now, the reason that this is happening is because they want to make sure anybody else that gets sued for behavioral issues from the past, they can then say, sorry, we're not responsible for that guy. I didn't do anything wrong. But it bothers me, and as a person of integrity, no, I need to write him back, and I'm in the process of trying to craft the letter in strong enough language to make it clear, no, I do not agree with this, and I will not, under my power, say that this is an okay thing for you to do. Integrity is a hard thing. A lot of times people are not going to agree with what we're doing. But when we are being as honest radically as we can with ourselves, it can be hard decisions we got to make. Job's wife is trying to tell him, do something else. We have another great example today, this day, the feast day, the saint that we celebrate on this Episcopal School Sunday. What a man of integrity he was. There was a guy by the name of Pietro Bernardone, an up-and-coming bourgeoisie, upper-middle-class merchant who was into buying fabrics, making clothes, and selling them, and he was doing quite well. He goes on a business trip to France while his wife is expecting a child. The child is born while he is in France. She decides to name him John. He comes back and says, no, I was in France when this child was born, so we're going to call him Frenchie. And we know him as Saint Frenchie of Assisi. Saint Francis of Assisi. That's how he got his name. Francis grows up as a child of privilege. He's got everything. He's got the world by the tail. But God taps him on the shoulder at some point. And Francis has a realization that God is calling me to something more. And as a person of integrity, he has to pursue that, and unfortunately, very much without the support of his family. It gets so conflicted, especially with his father, that his father takes Francis to the town square in Assisi, to the cathedral, and says to the bishop, I want you to draw up the papers so I can disown this person. I do not want him to be my son anymore. Could you imagine that? Your own parents saying, because of the religious calling you want to follow, I want nothing to do with you. Francis, in that moment, he's already taken all of his clothes and given it to the poor. He takes off the clothes that he has left, and he says, I only have one father, my father in heaven. That had to be an incredibly difficult moment. But as a person of integrity, it becomes the milestone from whence is launched the entire Franciscan initiative. And Francis' influence to this day is more than ever in our world. Later on, you know the story of that cross that we have there that we carry in, speaking to him, and he hears the voice of God telling him to rebuild the church. He's in the rubble of St. Damian's. And he takes that to mean I'm supposed to rebuild this particular church. And stone by stone he does. But later on he realizes that God was saying, rebuild my church worldwide, Francis. And in many ways he does and has. But it was only through his willingness to be a person of integrity, to know what was the right thing to do, and even though there was tremendous opposition, even though there were tremendous difficulties, that's what he does. Whether you are in the public school system or whether you are a part of St. Joseph's Episcopal School, this is the best thing that we can do for our children. To give them the tools to know that they are loved by a God unconditionally, and that in the long run, the only thing that matters is to persist in our integrity. May we do so. Amen.